today on Living on Every Word.
This is the saving work of Christ. This is the salvation work of God in your life right now. The question is, how does that happen? How do we see that work out in our lives? How do we see it work out to be partakers of the divine nature of God, to escape corruption, to always be useful, always be fruitful? How does it happen? Well, it happens through faith.
Faith. It's the only way to know God. But faith is so much more than that. In today's study on 2 Peter chapter 1, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses the topic of faith, its nature, its purpose, and its result in part 1 of our series, Genuine Faith.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4 this morning. This is a two-part series on this passage of Scripture on genuine faith and what genuine faith looks like, the nature of it, how you receive it, how you receive that faith. The object of that faith and the results of that faith. And we're going to be looking at this passage in depth. So get to 2 Peter chapter 1. And when you get there, place your finger in it and go to Jude chapter 1, okay? Just a couple of pages forward, all right? Jude chapter 1, or the only chapter, verse 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. Now watch, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Do you know that you have the power, that you have the ability, that you have everything that you need to keep yourself in the love of God? Now, of course, you have that by the power of God. You have that by His promises. You have that by His giftedness that He's given to you. You can keep yourself in the love of God. Notice what else? Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And you have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to keep you from stumbling. You have power, you have ability, you have giftedness to keep yourself in the love of God. And now Christ says to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Isn't that a great thought? To not stumble, to not fall headlong, to keep myself in the love of God while God, He Himself, is keeping me, while He is doing that work in our lives. When I go to 2 Peter, and you can let go of Jude, I look at an apostle who has some great concerns for the church. Matter of fact, he's going to tell them later in this chapter that there are going to come a time when mockers will come and false prophets will arise and they will introduce destructive heresies to your destruction. And so he says, I'm writing these things to you so that you would know upon the faith upon which you stand, that you will be strong in your faith and that you'll have this assurance of your salvation and this assurance of the Word of God and the assurance of the faith that you have in Him. When I look at this passage, I see this whole thought that I see in Jude that God wants to keep us. You know, I want to be kept by God. Think about that often. I want to be kept by God. I want to be kept in my marriage. I want our family to be kept. I want our church to be kept in Him. Kept in His power, kept in His graces, kept in Jesus. I think about you. I think about you all the time. And I want you to be kept. I want you to be kept in your marriage. I don't want you to see you go like the rest of the world, swapping spouses. kept in your marriage, kept in your faith, kept in purity, kept in holiness, kept in the vision of God. It's what Jude talks about. This is what Peter's talking about when he comes along and he says, listen, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And for this very reason, also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, Christian love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten the purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never, ever stumble. And in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. What a passage. What a passage of great promises. Here's Peter, he's saying, listen, you can take part of the divine nature of God. And not only that, but you can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. You can see and live the big picture of salvation and of faith and what God attempts and God is attempting and making to accomplish in your life, in this life, not in just the life to come. You can always be useful, not idle. You can always be fruitful. Not unfruitful. That there's this hope in his heart, hope by the Spirit of God, hope by the Word of God, that you can be certain and assured of your salvation. And you know what? You will never, never, by no means stumble as long as these qualities are yours and they're increasing. And what I want to suggest to you that this is the saving work of Christ. This is the salvation work of God in your life right now. Right now, this very moment. But the question is, how does that happen? How do we see that work out in our lives? How do we see it work out to be partakers of the divine nature of God, to escape corruption, to live this big picture, to always be useful, always be fruitful, and so on? How does it happen? Well, it happens through faith. It happens through faith. And that's what Peter's talking about right now. He is talking about this genuine faith that moves you on into God's plan for your life in this life right now, not just when you cross over into Jordan, when you die, but to experience it right now, this very moment, this salvation work. How does he do that? Well, it happens through faith. And I just call it genuine faith. And if there's a genuine faith, there can also be a counterfeit faith. Did you know that? I mean, everybody's got faith. They got faith in something. I mean, you look at religions of the world and the faith that they possess. Is that genuine faith? I've often heard people say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere in what you believe. Well, you're going to be sincerely wrong from here to kingdom come. I'm sincere in my faith. That's why the nature of faith is very important. And that's what Peter talks about. He talks about what the nature of our faith is. And you know what he says our faith is? He says, to those who have received the same kind of faith as ours. The faith that you and I possess is the same faith that Peter possessed and the apostles possessed when Jesus Christ ascended to the Father when the first church was planted. Genuine faith means that you have the same nature or the same kind of faith as Peter's. And what that means is that when I look at the first church or I look at these first apostles, I'll go to 1 John for just a second, if you would. 1 John chapter 1. John says, as an apostle, as a leader of the church, one of the 12 disciples, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. See, these guys got to touch Jesus physically, got to see the form of Jesus with their eyes, got to touch them and be touched by him. And here's the thought. The thought is they might be able to touch Jesus and believe on that, but guess what? We don't have to physically touch Jesus to have the same kind of faith that the apostles had. We don't have to listen to the voice, the literal voice of Jesus to believe, to have the same kind of faith, the same kind of powerful faith that he had. Verse 2, and the life was manifested, and we've seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. The same kind of faith as ours. But what I want to suggest to you also, it's not just the apostles' faith, but it's every saint that's gone before us in Old Testament and New Testament. When I look at Old Testament faith, the faith of Abraham, the faith of the fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the patriarchs, when I see the judges and I see kings who walked with God, it's the same faith that they possessed. And what's interesting is that this word, the same kind of ours, is a word that means equally privileged faith. We have the same privileges and the same results that first church had. What that means is that when I look at John or I look at Peter or I look at Paul, their faith brought them to have fellowship with God, communion with God, or forgiveness, or the abundant life, the power of God, the grace and mercy of God, the victory and triumph of God. When you look at the kingdom of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the peace and joy, the patience and goodness, the faith that secured salvation, the faith that secured a meaningful, full, and purposeful life. You have the same faith. You have the same faith as they had. Let go of 1 John and go to Hebrews chapter 11, and I hope you're keeping your finger in 2 Peter. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11. When you look at this heroes of faith, so to speak, men and women who walk by faith, this faith was not just an intellectual assent to the claims of the gospel. Yes, Jesus died for me. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on a cross for my sins, and today I receive him into my life, and I intellectually assent to that. It's interesting, when you look at faith, you always see the product of faith. And you see this in their lives. And I want you to notice verse 32. What more shall I say, for time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David and Samuel, the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings and chains and imprisonment. Some were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, put to death with the sword. Some of them went about in sheepskins and in goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Isn't that interesting? Faith, it puts armies to flight. Rah! Yes! Faith, it'll cause you to walk in such a way that you can live in a hole in the ground with sheepskins and being destitute. Because it's a faith that has great meaning and a great product and a great fruit that comes forth from their lives. Even in hard times, times that struggle, the times that you're hurt, the times that you weep, the times that you mourn. It's the same kind of faith. It's the equally privileged faith. It'll cause you to find life even when you're wandering in the desert and in the mountains and caves and holes in the ground. You find that meaning, like it happened to Paul and Silas, having been beaten that night with 39 lashes, thrown in the deepest dungeon, and yet at midnight would praise their God with hymns and choruses. It's the same kind of faith. The equally privileged faith. You have, I have, the same kind of faith as theirs. That's genuine faith. That's what it means to possess the faith that secures the promises of God. So that's the nature of faith. But there's also the reception of genuine faith. How did you receive faith? And go back to 2 Peter, and he says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. And how did you receive it? How can you receive it? Well, the word is a very, very ancient or actually rare word. Whenever you go to Scripture and you see in New Testament the word received, it's not this one usually. This one is a word that literally means received by lot. And what does that mean? Well, I have a whole lot of time to talk about casting of lots in Scripture. But in the Old Testament, when they cast lots by the command of God, it became synonymous with the will of God. Casting lots by priests were synonymous with the will or the divine will of God. And he says, you received this faith by the divine will of God. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't receive it because you won a prize. You didn't receive it because you had a great heritage or your pedigree was just great. And therefore, you got faith from God. What's interesting is you received it by the will and the intention and the desire of God. He came one day and he said, I want to give you faith. Well, what do you mean? I'm living in sin and I'm living in darkness and I don't deserve it. Exactly. I'm giving you this faith by the divine will of God. Because I choose to give you faith. It's the power of believing that God gives to every single one of us. Because I want to tell you, when God came along and he called me to faith and you to faith, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And I don't know about you, but a dead man can't respond. Dead man can't hear, he can't see, he can't smell, he can't touch. And God comes along and says, live by the divine will of God. You know why he says that? He says it in Ephesians. Look at the screen, chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one would boast. Look at my great faith that I have. Look at this great faith that I conjured up on this. Look at the things that we've accomplished because of our faith. No, look at the great things that God has done because of the faith that he's given you. We received this faith by the divine will of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he says, this genuine faith is to those who've received a faith as the same kind of ours, and it happened by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of 2 Peter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. We look at the nature of faith, the same kind as theirs. We look at how the reception of faith, how it took place, and that is by the divine will of God. But what's the object of faith? What is it that we believe? What is the object of faith? And first of all, Peter says it's the divine power, or it's what the divine power has granted you. And that is everything that leads to a godly life. He says this. He says, listen, you see that his divine power, the power of God, has given you everything unto life and godliness, to live this godly life before God. That's what faith produces. It produces godliness in your life. Because godliness is not only a position that we have in Christ, it is a practicality of a life and a behavior that comes forth from our lives. And it happens by staying close to our God. I have a faith that was given to me by the divine will of God, and that faith is in this power that God comes and gives me everything I need to live a godly life. Whether it's the Spirit of God, whether it's the Word of God, whether it's the Church of God, whether it's the blood of Jesus, whether it is anything else that comes forth from His kingdom and His word, whether it's His grace, whether it's His mercy, whether it's His giftedness that comes forth from your life, from the Spirit of God, it's all given to you to live a godly life. A life different. And so He says, this faith that you have is in the divine power that grants you everything that you need in this life to live godly. But I want you to go back to 2 Peter and notice what else. Verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, here's the next phrase, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. The object of our faith is not only what He has given to us by His divine power, but it's also the object of faith is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's where I realize that relationship with Christ is that indeed. It's a relationship. It's knowing Him. I have a faith in a growing, vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know Him. And He knows me. Isn't that what He said? He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I, what? Know them. And they know me and they follow me. That's what faith does. It causes us to recognize the voice of Christ so that we might have this vibrancy in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the knowledge of Christ. John 17:3 on the screen. This is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Isn't that interesting? Salvation is what? This is eternal life. It's knowing God. It's knowing the only true God. It's knowing the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you, the only true God, has sent. Do you know Him today? Or do you really know Him? See, you can know a lot about somebody and never know them. Right? That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, the greatest thing that I can ever do is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll count all things as loss in the surpassing view of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What is the object of faith? It's the very things that the divine power of God has promised you to live a godly life. And it's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also His magnificent and precious promises. Notice what Peter says. For by these, verse 4, He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises so that you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's the precious, magnificent promises. What are promises? Well, it's the word that Christ gives to you that says He's going to do for you. The things that He's going to give you, the things that He's going to release to you of the kingdom. Precious and magnificent promises. You know, Romans 10 and verse 17 talks about how faith comes. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, Scripture says. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Very important. Hearing the promises of God, embracing the promises of God. What are some of the promises that He gives to us? Well, the same promises He gave to Peter and to John. Do you remember what He said while He was still with them? He said, listen, in a few days, I want you to wait in Jerusalem because I'm going to give you the Spirit to promise. And He even said it in John chapter 16. He said, listen, it's to your advantage that I go away so that I can send the Helper to you. By these magnificent promises, the promise of the Spirit, you're going to be able to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Because the Spirit of God is going to be given to you and the Spirit of God is going to lead you. It's a precious, magnificent promise. It's the Spirit of God that leads you. It's another promise. Promise of His presence and deliverance. Isaiah 41:10, don't fear, I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about, I'm your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Didn't Jesus say that? I'm going to be with you. I'm always going to be with you. I'm never going to desert you. I'm never going to forsake you. I will always, always be with you. Why is he with us? You know what he told Jeremiah? He said it 3 or 4 times, but on the screen, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you. What a promise. He's with you to deliver you. Deliver you from temptation, deliver you from the sin, deliver you from the strongholds. I am with you to deliver you. Deliver you from the corruption that is in the world by lust, and deliver you straight right into the presence of God. Amen? Amen. It's the promise of His peace. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. You have the promise of limited testing. Limited testing. What does that mean? Well, on the screen, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will be able to provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. That when I look at temptation, it's all common to everybody else. I'm not the only one going through it. I serve a faithful God who's not going to allow me to be tempted beyond my ability. But not only that, He'll give you a way of escape every time. I mean, this is the promise of limited testing. There's a limit to it. And the limit is according to your ability. Why? So that by these promises, you might partake of the divine nature. By this promise, you might escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. By this very promise that God says, yeah, temptation is coming, and it will come, and it has come. But guess what? It's limited. It's limited to your ability. And then, He's giving you a way to escape it. Incredible. This is what genuine faith is all about. Because when I look at escaping temptation by the power of Mike Fritcher, it is a maybe. Matter of fact, it's an impossibility. But by the power of God, by the promises of God, the magnificent promises of God, knowing Jesus Christ, the divine power granting us everything that we need, we can do this. Woo. We can. This is what genuine faith's all about. It's believing that God has saved me, He is saving me, and He will indeed save me. And the Bible says it will be abundantly supplied to you. Abundantly. And let's just finish this with just two things. What is the results of this? And we're going to look at more of this in the next week. But the results is, and we've seen it a couple of times because we've read it, is the number one result is that you will be a partaker of the divine nature. It's a common ministry with the Spirit of God that God has invited you to. God has a part and you have a part. If that wasn't the case, you know what you'd be? You'd be a puppet on a string. No, you have choices to make to participate in the divine nature of God. Partakers. And then what happens before that? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father God, we praise you for faith that we didn't have enough strength to possess. But by the divine will of God, you gave it to us. I thank you that this faith is powerful. This faith is a faith unto salvation, unto deliverance. And I pray, God, that you'd birth within us this morning a new kind of faith like this. I pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.